Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Be Welcome.
Be a little weird, although you're welcome at any point in time when the doors are open at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon in Brupolo and the Strange Brew in Northport
and
Tuscaloosa,
whatever they're calling it. So,
I mean, you're always welcome with open arms.
And so now I come to you.
Can we put Shane in a Steve Perry wig with like one of those vests?
Don't twist his arm, man. That guy, he'll do anything. So, wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's only a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. It's prime time grilling season. We're only a week away from the 4th of July. I mean, it's time to start thinking about what you're going to be putting on the grill for our nation's birthday. Make sure you're celebrating. Absolutely. A salute to our great country and to beef. Nothing more American than a steak, a burger on the 4th of July. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. If you need new gear, and you do need new gear, you need to get some new polos, some new t-shirts, some new hats into the rotation, the place to do it is College Corner. Everything maroon and white, all the logos that you want, the M over S, the state script, and of course, the interlocking, it's all available to you at College Corner. Nobody's telling College Corner to take the interlocking off the shelf. It's right there for you if you want to buy it. Go get it today. College Corner, two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flowed by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is, I'll send it to you. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. If you want to have a great lunch, not a good lunch, a great lunch in the city of Starkville, the place to do it is Restaurant Tyler. The best blue plate in the city, maybe the state. Fried catfish, fried chicken, hamburger steak, pork chops, great vegetables, great cornbread. It's as southern as it gets. It's a good price, too. So, and I mean, we're talking about you can get out of there for a $20 bill with tip on with a meal and a sweet tea. Can't beat it. If you want to have a fantastic lunch today, tomorrow, anytime you're in Starkville, the place to go is Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank has 16 locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need them on your schedule, not somebody else's. You need to talk to a bank that provides a level of service that you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We got a football-heavy show today, Robbie. We got an opponent preview and an SEC preview to do. Just in a few minutes, actually, we're going to be talking to our friend Callum McAndrew from the Columbia Tribune, who covers the Missouri Tigers. You know, normally when I do the things that are true, Robbie, you know, I do them, and we do the podcast, and then I, you know, for the most part, they just go in one ear and out the other, right? You know, because I got limited storage up here now, all right? It's not like the old days where I had a lot of free space, you know, I'm running out of storage up here. But one that stuck with me was one that I did from the Missouri game, where I talked about how State had taken a 3-0 lead, had gotten back-to-back 3-and-outs, had it gotten a Missouri shanked a, or had a gave a punt that Kevin Coleman had a good return on. So State takes over 1st and 10, up 3-0 at the Missouri 32-yard line. And my comment was, that was the high point of the season. And if you might remember, the next play, a fumble. Missouri takes it all the way back to for a touchdown. And a game that State led 3-0. They were behind at the half 28-13. They end up losing 39-22. The stat that always stands out to me from this game is time of possession. And I always say, you know, in this day and age of college football, time of possession can be a little bit of an overrated stat. It can be. But when it's 42 minutes to 18 minutes, it's not. It's not overrated. And that's what Missouri just – State couldn't get them off the field. They ran the ball 56 times in this game, only averaged 3.6 yards per carry, but 3.6 times 3 is enough for a first down each and every time you want to roll that mathematics out there. So my question to you is this, and like I said, we'll do the interview in just a minute, but Missouri is a team that, you know, I feel like of all the quarterbacks in the SEC, Bo Pribula, I believe is how you pronounce it, is the guy we know the least about. In any situation, you know, the team that was so good 2 years ago with Corey Schrader back there in the backfield, they weren't able to replicate that as much last year. They were still good, but they were not as good. Now they've lost Luther Burden and they lose Theo Weiss. This feels like a bit of a transition year for Missouri, but this game being on the road makes you wonder about it. It's so late in the season. Is this a game that we can look at? I'm not going to say win, but can we put this game in the toss-up category for Mississippi State?
We'll see. I think if you look at the SEC schedule, I think Arkansas and Missouri appear to be two of the more winnable games, but they're on the road.
Yeah.
So and Mississippi State hasn't proven anything yet, so it's hard to really feel great about it, but those are probably your more winnable conference games. I thought the big thing about that game last year is exactly what you said. Like, the first quarter was there for the taking. And it was kind of that way against Ole Miss. Like, if you look at Missouri and Ole Miss late in the year, State's defense came out and actually was getting off the field, was giving their offense a chance, and they just didn't really come through the way they needed to do it. State needed to capitalize on that. Had they done that in the first quarter and had they scored a couple of touchdowns and gone up 17-0 or something, I think State wins that game. And it looks a lot similar to that 2020 game against Missouri, probably, where State really started to click offensively for the first time in a while. And so that's kind of what happened, is they just missed their opportunities early in that game. Missouri took advantage of it, and they take the game and win it. That's – like, would you talk about the fact that they're rushing 50-plus times and it's basically just 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Mm-hmm.
That's Mississippi State just not having dudes on the defensive front. Yeah. And they
threw the ball well in this game. Brady Cook was 15 of 20, 268 yards and a touchdown. So when they had to pass the ball, they were effective in doing so.
They just knew they didn't have to.
No, they knew they didn't have to, exactly. That's why they're, you know, basically 3-1 on the rushing to passing.
But, again, I'm just – I'm not, like, over the moon for Missouri. I don't think they're going to be a great team. I think they'll be okay. And so with that said, I mean, yeah, it is a – I don't know if I'm at the point where it's a toss-up. I would certainly say Missouri's favored right now just because of what we know about Mississippi State or what we don't know probably would be the best way to say it. But there is no Brady Cook back there, who was the heart and soul of that team. And if you take Brady Cook off that team last year, that's a team that's probably struggling to get to bowl eligibility. I think that's what he meant to that squad.
Yeah.
So we'll see what they do with their quarterback, what he looks like, and how they're able to operate offensively. But, yeah, I do think that's a winnable game for Mississippi State this year. When you look at the schedule, you look at them and Arkansas, I think both of those games are probably your – That would be your most winnable SEC games, I think.
Yeah. Two names that are familiar to Mississippi State fans on this Missouri. Actually, it's kind of funny. State, a couple of guys, State, I don't know if they recruited, but they were at least names of interest, right? And that's Ahmad Hardy, the running back who was at, I believe, ULM a season ago. Yep. State ends up obviously going with Fluff Bothwell. I feel like State got the better of that deal. But Hardy is a Mississippi kid. State did consider him. Stephen Hall, a cornerback out of Washington State that Mississippi State fans were desperate to get involved here. I think we were told there was a height issue there, but I mean, I that's one of those things, like, if you can play, you can play. I don't really worry about that. Hall will be starting for the Missouri Tigers in this game. And then, you know, another name that's familiar, no connection to Mississippi State, Jalen Catalan is, I think, in his 12th year of eligibility now. He's at Missouri. He's been all over the place, been at Arkansas, been it was at Colorado, now at Missouri. And, of course, the name we all know is Kevin Coleman, who, you know, has the unenviable task at Missouri of trying to be that big play receiver that Luther Burden was these past couple of years. I don't know how much Coleman, their games are not very similar, in my opinion. Burden is a lot more of an explosive guy who can, you know, do the deep ball, whereas Coleman I always thought was more of a run after the catch kind of guy, and, you know, and more of a, you know, he could take small plays and turn them into big plays, whereas Luther Burden just made big plays, if that makes sense. So interested to see how that all works out. And then, like I said, with Pribula, you don't really have much to go on. He played limited snaps. I would tell you, I'm pretty sure that Tommy Stevens played more snaps at Penn State than Bo Pribula did at Penn State prior to transferring. So just to give you an idea of, you know, what I think they like him. He's a talent. He was supposed to be a very talented player. He's a good runner, big kid, but we don't know a whole lot about him. Let's get some more information now. We'll talk to our friend Callum McAndrew, covers the Tigers for the Columbia Tribune. He'll give us a little more in-depth about this Missouri team and what Mississippi State's chances are to get an upset win when they head to Columbia in mid-November. All of our interviews here on Thunder and Lightning are brought to you by our good friends over at Alora Modern Wellness. Guys, it's about staying healthy. It's about feeling good. That's what the good folks at Alora Modern Wellness are willing to do for you. If you are got muscle aches, if you're tired, you're exhausted, if you just feel like you just need to relax and let yourself be treated a little bit, go talk to the good folks, our buddy Rich Lopez over at Alora Modern Wellness, and he will put together a plan to get you feeling better. You know, it's about staying healthy. It's about trying to keep your body as fit as you possibly can. Recuperation, recovery, that's what Alora Modern Wellness is going to bring to you. If you haven't already, check out their website, aloramodernwellness.com, to look at all the services that they have to offer for you and make a decision about your life and your health with Alora Modern Wellness. Welcome back to the podcast, Callum McAndrew, Columbia Tribune, covering the Missouri Tigers. And Callum, I look at this Missouri team this past 2 years. They've been really, really good. I don't know that they're at the point, though, where it's just, you know, not rebuild but reload. So when I look at this team, I like their schedule, but I have questions about them. What do Missouri fans think about what this season should be for them?
I think that's quite an interesting question, because you're looking at a team that has now put together back-to-back 10-win seasons. You know, it's only the third time in program history that that's been done. You're kind of toeing the line between, all right, is Missouri at a place where this is the norm, this is the expectation, where 7 wins is a disappointing year? And then you kind of have to counterbalance that with, well, Mizzou had 2 really talented rosters there, a lot of NFL talent on those 2 teams. And really, you only get these 3-4 consecutive years. It's really only been done by Gary Pinkel in Missouri's history. You know, this is new for most Mizzou coaches throughout their history. So I think there's kind of a sense that this is a prove it year for Mizzou. You know, if they can come in and you know, they've brought in a really good transfer class on paper. They've recruited well out of high school for a few years in a row, especially considering, you know, where Missouri was about a decade ago in the recruiting landscape. Let's see. You know, if they can come out this season and put together another 9-10 win year, you have to maybe start altering your expectations about where Eli Drinkwitz has this program.
All right, you were kind enough to correct me before we got on the air here. Pribula is the quarterback at Missouri. The comment I made about him is, of the 16 starting quarterbacks in the SEC, he's the one we know the least about. He's the Absolutely. One that we have the least amount of track record on. What kind of player is he, and what's different about him than Brady Cook?
So I think there's similarities. I'll start with similarities. I think he's going to be able to tuck the ball and run really, really well, which was a sneaky good trait of Brady Cook's. I don't think a lot of people appreciated how good he was at taking it down and taking off. He really, really, really had some speed and athleticism to him. And from what we've seen, from what Andy Kotelnicki, the offensive coordinator up at Penn State, liked to do in these designed plays with Bo Pribula, is let him run the ball. And it seems like he does have that dynamic presence to him. It seems like he is able to get his head down, take some contact, and run through it. Doesn't seem like he's scared of taking that con of taking the ball down and going with it. I think that is absolutely going to be strength. Where the questions are is how is he as a passer? That is where we really, I forget the number, but it's less than, I believe, 70 college passes in his entire time with Penn State. And they really only used him as a wrinkle in that offense up in Happy Valley. So that's where the question is going to be. I mean, that was what Brady Cook didn't give you a lot in terms of explosiveness down the field, but he did not turn the ball over. He never put the ball in harm's way more than, just what a quarterback will do at times. He really was good at keeping the ball in Missouri's hands. We'll see what that's like. And of course, I don't want to jump the gun here either. Pribula is technically still in a quarterback competition with Sam Horn. I think, my expectation, and this is not, based on any sourcing, but if you're going to bring a guy of that caliber out the transfer portal with the reported price tag that comes with him, that's the guy that you probably want as your starting quarterback. But they are technically still in a two-man race to start when the new season comes around.
I thought the biggest difference from Missouri from 23 to 24 was at the running back position. Now, Cody Schrader was so good
Sure.
2 years ago. And last year with Nate Noel, he was good. I'm not saying he was bad, but he was not the same explosive player. Ahmad Hardy is a guy from the state of Mississippi, a guy that Mississippi State had some interest in the recruiting process. So the name is familiar. And he's going to be, I guess he's first up on the depth chart here. Can he be, if he duplicates what Schrader does, great. But what can he give Missouri this year?
So this is the player that I am most excited to watch this fall for Missouri. They really have had a good track of recent running backs. Even Nate Noel was banged up, but he ran their outside zone really, really well. And when he was injured, Marcus Carroll was a good sort of change of pace back for them. You look before Cody Schrader, I mean, a great story. If your listeners aren't familiar with it, go look up Cody Schrader, a really, really cool college football story there from walk-on. Even before that, Tyler Beatty is now on the Denver Broncos' roster. Larry Roundtree has been in the UFL. He was a really good running back for Missouri. The way to bring it to Ahmad Hardy, the outside zone that Mizzou runs, the off tackle plays that Eli Drinkwitz likes to scheme up, it seems like it's just going to suit Ahmad Hardy really, really well. They are going to run the ball. That is a staple of the Eli Drinkwitz offense. They are going to run the ball a lot, and they've been effective at doing it in recent seasons. And I like what Ahmad Hardy brings to the table. You look at ULM last season; he was, I believe, only a couple of running backs, one of them being Ashton Jeanty, had more yards after contact than him. He's really slippery. He's really dynamic. I think he's gonna, they ran the outside zone at ULM as well, so he's got some familiarity in terms of scheme. Eli Drinkwitz actually said that he, I believe he's done coaching clinics with ULM's head coach before, so they do have very similar ideas of how to run an offense. Ahmad Hardy is somebody that I really think could be one of those Mizzou running backs that puts up 1,600 yards rushing over
Wow.
the course of the season. I think he really does have that talent level.
When you look at the receiver position, obviously Mississippi State fans, their eyes are going to gravitate to Kevin Coleman.
Sure, yeah.
Luther Burden, we all know what he was a season ago. I've been a great player from Missouri. I thought Theo East is one of the most underrated players in the
Regular.
country over the last couple of years. How much of what Burden gave Missouri can Coleman give Missouri?
$1 million question right there. I mean, Luther Burden was a special talent. You don't see the likes of him in college football very often. Look, Coleman is gonna play the same role. He's going to be Missouri's slot receiver. He's going to be whoever, if it is Bo Prabula, he's going to be his number one target in the passing game. He's the most experienced wide receiver on the roster. He is, on paper, I would say, the most talented wide receiver on the roster. He's going to be the go-to guy, especially with that SEC experience. I could absolutely. How different is Luther Burden was a yards after the catch monster. I mean, the way he could make a defender miss was defied belief just about every single week he was here for 3 years. Whether Kevin Coleman will be that player, remains to be seen. I think he's going to get his fair share of targets, though, to put his mark on this passing game.
When I look at Missouri defensively, I see the secondary as the strength. They bring back some experienced guys there. Jalen Catalan, not, first year at Missouri, but he has been around the block more than once in the SEC. And Stephen Hall was a really good player for Washington State. I thought he was a guy. State, I was in with the recruiting process with him a little bit. I thought State should have made a big push to sign him, to be totally honest with you. Am I right that the secondary is where this defense is the strongest? And if I am right, what is that defensive line going to look like? Because you and I both know that in the SEC, that's where you've got to be somewhat strong.
To answer the second, I think it has the opportunity to be the most improved unit on Missouri's roster. I think what they bring back is some extreme. You mentioned it, a lot of good experience in there. Dalen Carnell is a great, essentially a nickel safety, a really good player playing that hybrid linebacker safety spot that Missouri likes to run. A lot of experience there. I think he's a could be an all SEC caliber player this year before he heads to the draft. Really good. Good talent. Marvin Burks, solid safety. But Mizzou had that problem where they got caught with their eyes downfield a lot, especially against mobile quarterbacks, and they allowed a lot of chunk plays over the top. That's something they have to sort out. Like you said, I like what they did to address that in the transfer portal. I think Jalen Catalan, as you said, I think he's the archetype big hitting safety. I think he's going to be the key player in this defense. I think, though, that the strength of this Mizzou defense is going to be their edge rushers. When you look at who they've got there, who they're returning, who they've brought in, I think that really is potentially the deepest room on this current Mizzou squad, offense or defense. You look at Damon Wilson, a guy from Georgia, was one of the top portal talents available this entire cycle. Zion Young was an excellent starter in his first season for Mizzou last year. They brought in Nate Johnson, a former freshman All-American over at Appalachian State, who the staff really, really seemed to like. There's a lot of talent in that room, and I think that could be their most impactful position. But it's also going to depend. I think when you jump inside, there's a lot of questions at defensive tackle there. That I think they didn't bring anyone in at that position until the spring transfer portal window. They're relying on a couple of guys that they recruited 2, 3, 4 years ago to take a step. This season, they're really asking some of those guys that they've developed in-house to be better than they have been in the past. So there is a little bit of a question mark there. But I like where this edge rushing room is, and I do like where they've bolstered in the secondary.
All in all, for this team, we talked about it at the beginning about, what a trans is it a transition year? Is it a rebuilding year? But at the same time, the schedule isn't so bad that you look at them and go, well, they're gonna struggle. And this could very easily be a team that takes a small step back. But an 8-4 team at Missouri this year would be in a really good spot. By and large, when you think about where this team's going to be in late November or mid-November when we get to this game, what do you think about this Missouri Tiger team?
I think the talent level's there for them to replicate the success that they've had for the past couple of years. I think it's certainly there. There is a lot of transition, though. There is a lot of turnover that they need to, especially on offense, that they need to deal with, that they need to figure out. A lot of the question is going to be how good is your quarterback? I know that's the same for every single team in the country, but it really is pertinent to Missouri. I think that. They had a reliable guy under center for the past 3 years. It's a massive change now. It's a new face for Eli Drinkwitz to work with there. I think in terms of the schedule, there's a lot of games in there that you look at, and if you base it on sort of last year's results, you would look at it and you go, man, I can see a path to 9-10 wins pretty easily here. There's also a lot of teams that I'm looking at, Auburn, Oklahoma, Arkansas, that I look at and think, they could be a lot better than they were this time last year. They could be, we don't know how much of a step forward they've taken until they put it on the field. The path to success is going to be how Mizzou deals with its turnover, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I do think the defense is going to be a strength for them. A lot's going to be dependent on how they kind of manage these swing games as well. they haven't managed to knock off that big dog, even in these sort of 10-win years that they've had. They haven't managed to take down an Alabama who they face this year at home. They got crushed by Texas A&M on the road last year. They faced them at home. If they don't get that, those swing games are going to be real, real important to see where we are when we get to mid to late November.
November 15th will be the showdown for between Mississippi State and
Yep.
Missouri, only state's second trip to Columbia, despite the fact that they've been in the conference with the Tigers for going on 13 seasons now. I love the SEC schedule. So, Colin McAndrew, we always appreciate your time, man, from the Columbia Tribune. We'll talk to you again soon in the season.
Thank you.
All right, thanks to Colin for his time. Always appreciate getting a chance to talk to him. Good stuff about the Missouri Tigers. Again, with this game, Robbie, you know, State plays this game, then they're off a week, and then it's the Egg Bowl. I don't know what State's record's going to be coming into this game. I think the best case scenario coming into this game is that you're 5-5. That's the best case for me. You've won your four non-conference and you found a way to beat Arkansas. If you're 5-5 coming into this game,
I would sign up for that right now.
I think every Mississippi State fan would take that deal right this second. And if you wouldn't, well, you're playing a dangerous game, my friends. But
That shout out to Sotex Dog.
don't shout him out. Don't do that.
He's been fine.
Has he? Going around talking about Blake Chapin being first team all SEC this year.
Well, it's kind of quiet right now.
Well, yeah, but he'll find his way forward, don't worry. All right, let's move into the SEC preview. That's brought to you by our friends over at interesting show today. It's a lot to talk about two other teams than Mississippi State, but it is what it is. That's brought to you by
I think I'd rather do that right now. I'm just going to go on record.
We got an opponent preview tomorrow too, so we'll get that out there. Brought to you by our good friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, and of course the older brother right next door. Went to Two Brothers earlier this week, which means I'll be at the older brother sooner rather than later. Probably I might go this week because I love a trip to the older brother. I still haven't gotten that Philly cheesesteak. I need to make that happen.
My friend Drew the other day, and he had Philly cheesesteak. He said it's phenomenal.
Yeah, I gotta go get it.
Not surprised, but
I'm not surprised at all. I'm
when
not
you and
surprised
I
at all.
go next, I'm going to get that as well.
Okay.
We'll just both get it, and we'll take a bite at the same time,
Yes.
react without any
No prejudice.
either one of us pressuring the other.
Yeah. I appreciate that. All right. So you need to do that too. You need to head out next time you're in Starkville, head over to the Cotton District and enjoy the fanciest of sandwiches in Starkville at the Older Brother. Of course, the delicious smoked Southern soul food at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
Did, brother.
If you need technology for your business, if you need. You're right there. What'd you do?
I hurt my finger today.
What'd you do? Cutting something? Or.
Weed eating.
Yeah. Oh, you're lucky still things still on there. Goodness gracious.
It was like one of those things where you peel the skin back.
Yeah.
It
Oh.
is that kind of thing.
You know, if you're looking for a new weed eater, I got somebody in a couple minutes we'll tell you about.
I know. We're gonna have to, I'm gonna have to talk to them about maybe some safer options.
There we go. But if you, the safest option when you need business technology is Advantage Business Systems, because for two reasons. One, you want the best product available. But secondly, you want to know that if something goes wrong, and this is a machine, guys, it's going to go wrong. If something's going to break down at some point, you want to know that you can make the phone call and get service that same day in many instances. That's what you get. That's the comfort, the blanket of security that Advantage Business Systems provides you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. What is it with shows that I'm on and other people eating? Like Richard is always snacking. Richard is like Brad Pitt in Ocean's 11. Like every commercial break, he's eating something. Like
Well,
if I told you that if I told
that's
you
what
that during a
multitaskers do. They don't complain about not being able to eat lunch. They just eat lunch while they're working.
I ate lunch. If I told you that one person on Sports Talk Mississippi ate like a Pop-Tart, a granola bar, a bag of chips, a cookie, and maybe a cheeseburger. I mean, how much money could I get off of you before you realize it wasn't me?
Well, you mentioned granola bar.
I like granola bars.
Okay.
Nature's Valley Oats and Honey. That's the one.
The one that like breaks apart in
Yeah,
your hand.
it's a little crumbly, but it's
Those
good.
are delicious, but I can't take the if
Yeah,
you
you
take
gotta.
one bite out of it, it goes
You
everywhere.
gotta, yeah, it's gonna get on you. There's no
Yeah.
question. All right.
No, that's Richard. Richard is the one eating the Pop-Tarts and the cheeseburger.
Yes. Yes.
and still maintains his boyish figure.
Well, you can do that when you got, you take, 5 day, 12 days off a month out of a, 25 day work schedule, and you play, a round of golf every day. So yeah, you can stay in shape like that.
Well,
Must be nice. I don't know
you
anything
can
about
do it too. Your
that.
days off are usually
I don't
your
have anywhere
days
near the
off are
PTO that guy
usually
has.
well, your days off are usually playing Red Dead Redemption or watching AEW or
I
something
haven't
like that.
fired up the PS5 in quite some time. I need to do that. So I'm off next Thursday for the I'm off on the 3rd so that I can get ready for the 4th.
As you should.
There you go. If you're going to be in Starkville and you need Mississippi State gear, the place to go is Maroon & Co. If you're not going to be in Starkville, the place to go is maroonandco.com. The biggest and best selection of Mississippi State merchandise here in the city of Starkville. Everything you're looking for, maroon and white. Again, the interlocking stuff, it's on the shelf at Maroon & Co. So nobody's telling them, hey, we're going to put this in the vault. You can't have it anymore. Nope, not Maroon & Co. is not listening to that. And you shouldn't either. So get yourself a new gear, some new gear. Get that interlocking out there. Let everybody see it. Let everybody know that's what we want to be wearing here at Mississippi State. Our promo code is THUNDER15. It'll save you 15% off regular price on anything you buy in store or online. Before you go to the game, make sure you go to Maroon and Co. All right, Robbie, you're looking for a new weed eater? I know some people who might be able to help you out, and that's our friends at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden. It's hot outside. You don't want to be spending long hours on the lawn. You need John Deere power to make those jobs work faster and work better for you. Everything you're looking for, commercial mowers, tractors, gators, it's all right there at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden. And they've got great deals with as low as 0% financing on a number of John Deere items. Whatever you're looking for to work around your house, in the garden, on your lawn, on the house itself, and if you're just wanting to cook out, you need to head to Scruggs Farm and Lawn and Garden before you do anything else. All of those John Deere offers are valid through July 2nd. Visit Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden today for those amazing John Deere deals. All right. The Florida Gators. There are two coaches in this conference, Robbie, that I have zero faith in. One of them is Billy Napier. I think that Lagway is an
And the other
outstanding.
one is
Brent Venables.
Brent Venables.
Don't have any faith there. So, with this Florida team, the fact that they have an elite quarterback helps them a lot. It's almost impossible to be really and truly bad if you have an elite quarterback. That being said, when you have a bad coach, that gets in the way sometimes. So, let's just look at it. They start the year off with a couple of easy ones, right? They play, I believe that's Long Island University.
I don't know if I've ever seen Long Island University.
Ole Miss played them in basketball this year, I believe.
This is the most like Gainesville, Florida thing ever. Hosting a team from Long Island.
Yeah.
Like this is like the retirement
Parents.
community is just going to be
These
going
people are
nuts.
coming out and see the grandparents.
This they're going to be going nuts.
Yeah.
They're going to leave their condos to come to the swamp.
We're moving into Bell Vista.
7 p.m.
Yeah.
That seemed
I
like that was
got
going to be like an 11 a.m.
the Silver Bird package at Green Grove. It's a retirement community.
Yeah, they're going to get a see that they bring him in, they let him see the sights a
Yeah.
little bit, they give him some dinner, they
Ma,
sit
Ma,
down.
you'd love it down here, huh? This
Well,
weather.
Ma,
Exactly.
that's going to be like 63 to 3.
Yeah, something like that. USF week two, that's another win. Although our guy, we love Alex Gorish at South Florida.
Yes.
Runs that fast tempo. So it could make it a little interesting for a little while.
If they got in a fight,
Oh,
I
I
would be
take,
taking Goresh in
I'm not
this,
gonna
but
lie to you. Goresh or whatever you pronounce it, Goresh versus Napier would be a brawl.
be a nice little brawl because
That would be
Napier's
like
got that
that's like
dad.
Moxley versus Eddie Kingston. I mean, that's just gonna be a nasty brawl.
Napier has that look to him, like he's like the little league baseball coach, and you're like,
Yeah.
what a loser. And then you get into a fight with him, and you're like, oh, the dude can actually kind of scrap a little bit.
Next thing you know, you're biting the curb.
But yeah, exactly.
Right, so 2-0. Then it's back-to-back road trips at LSU and at Miami. That's tough. Miami, I'm high on Miami this year.
Think Miami's going to be good.
I'm on the Carson Beck redemption tour, and at LSU, I mean, I'm really high on LSU this year. I think the Gators are 2-2.
Yeah.
And immediately because now they're on the bye week there. Immediately, we're on the hot seat. We're right there. Billy Napier on the hot seat in week four.
With Arch Manning and Steve Sarkisian coming to town.
So then off the next week, then they host Texas. I think that's a loss. At
Gatorade's, the Gatorade 60th anniversary game.
Is that what the Texas game is?
They're celebrating the 60th anniversary of Gatorade.
All right, free Arctic Frost for everyone.
I love a good Arctic Frost.
At A&M, I think that's an L.
Mm, yeah, at Cal Field.
We're 2-4, Robbie. We're not in good spot here for Billy. We're not in good spot. They host Mississippi State. I think they can beat the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Then they're off, and I'll just be honest with you, at 3-4, they might make a move there. They really might.
Before Georgia?
Yeah, because it's bye week. You know me. What do I always say? I love to fire.
Yeah, but nobody ever does that.
I know, and Richard pointed
that out. It's the most logical thing.
But they should do it. But anyway, so they play Georgia. They'll lose that one. I think they beat Kentucky. I really don't see them winning at Ole Miss. You know, I know they beat them last year, but the Rebels will be locked in for that one, I think.
Absolutely.
They host Tennessee. I've never seen that game this late. That used to be like the third game of the year every year. Now it's the second to last game for the Gators. I don't think they beat Tennessee. I do think they'll beat Florida State. They get them at home. I'm not. I think the Florida State's gonna be better, but I think Florida can still beat them. Buddy, I've got 5-7 written down.
We're down on them every year, but we usually hit around the.
Yeah. If they don't make the change, if they don't what was the guy's name? Graham Mertz doesn't get hurt last year, so they have to give it to Lagway. I don't know that they win the games they won there at the end.
No.
So
I think Lagway just kind of willed them to.
Ed, he absolutely did. I'm going to say 5-7.
What's crazy is Napier, like every year, every offseason, like the Florida media and.
They start recruiting.
The national media, they start hyping up, like, look at this staff. He keeps hiring these great coaches,
yeah.
The support staff. They have 500 people working for the football team now. And they're winning 7 games. I mean, like what's the – all the money that they've put into that program to have the results that they've had at this point is just kind of sad. It's, you know, it's not like – I don't know how – I don't know the comparison between them and Texas A&M mm-hmm. as far as the money they're putting in, but I imagine they're putting in a lot of money as well.
Both of those
programs are not getting their return on investment.
The other thing to consider here is in terms of making a change, right? Because we've talked about Scott Strickland before. Now, I think Todd Golding winning a national title put a little shine on Scott. But, I mean, he hired McElwain. That didn't work out. He hired Mullen. That didn't work out. Now he's hired Napier, and it's not working out. I don't know that he gets another shot at it. Or maybe he didn't hire McElwain, but regardless. Mullen and Napier have not worked out to this point. I don't know. But they don't have a university president. Remember, they were going to hire the Michigan president, and their board of regents or whatever shot that down. So they still don't have a president. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do there. But
yeah, Scott's going to try to delay that as much as he can. That's exactly what happened during the season last year. He gave him his vote of confidence, and they actually won some games. But that feels like kind of a last ditch.
Yeah. So we just talked about I don't have any faith in Napier. I also mentioned I don't have any faith in Venables. Do you want to do Oklahoma next week?
Sure.
All right, we'll do the Sooners next Tuesday. All right.
It looks like Texas State is probably about to go to the Pac-12, which is not a bad, not of like anything that
our other guy, GJ. That's our guy,
GJ Kenny.
There we go.
That is, I just can't get on board with these with the names of these conferences. Being what they are, the Pac-12 to me is a West Coast like name. Like, why is a team from Texas joining a conference called the Pac-12?
You know,
why is there a team from the West Coast joining an ACC conference? I mean,
you know, what's funny is like the start of all this was that Texas was going to go to the Pac-12 at one point. And they would have if the Pac-12 could have come up with a deal to let them keep the Longhorn Network, but they couldn't, so they didn't. They didn't make that. But that move is what pushed A&M to the SEC, basically. And so they were like,
"Oh, is that far back?"
Yeah, yeah. So There you go. All right. So we'll do, let's do the Sooners next week. Tomorrow's show, another opponent preview to catch up. We'll do the Georgia Bulldogs. Jordan Hill from Dogs 24/7 will join us. Plus, I think we'll probably have some baseball. We didn't talk about William Kirk today. We'll do that on tomorrow's show, and plus maybe look ahead to some other potential targets for Brian O'Connor as he wants to finish out this class. The portal closes on July 1st, so we'll see who jumps in between now and then and who comes to Mississippi State between now and then. Guys, have a great Thursday. Robbie and I back with you on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.